Hello, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the first Aliyah of Parsha, or Sidra Shmini, in the book of Vayikra. This is for the OU Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum project. The first five Aliyot of Shmini fit the name of the Parsha very, very well, since they describe the events that took place on the eighth day, that is the Yom HaShmini, of the Miluim process. Well, actually, the Miluim process was only 7 days, and the goal of the Miluim was to prepare the Mishkan and all of its contents, including the priests, to sort of super purify them in order that God's presence, which here is called Kavod Hashem, also known as Shekhinah in other places, so that God's presence, God's Kavod, could manifest itself, and that the entire Mishkan can turn on, so to speak. The sacrifices here on the eighth day are distinct from the 7 days of Miluim, which we saw in the previous Parsha, Parshat Tzav, since over by the first 7 days, Aaron was not actually serving as a priest. Moshe was essentially the Kohen Gadol, serving up sacrifices for the sake of Aaron and his sons, who were almost but not quite ready to go as priests. So after the 7 days, Aaron and his sons are ready to go, and here on the eighth day, it is they who are acting as the priests, and Aaron, of course, as the head priest, as the Kohen Gadol, as they bring sacrifices not only for themselves, but for the congregation, as we'll see. And the goal, of course, is to sort of kickstart, to jumpstart the Mishkan. The 7 days were oiling it up and making sure the machine was clean and making sure everything was ready to go. And on the eighth day, the sacrifices are supposed to actually, like a person stepping on that motorcycle engine and watching the engine take off and the motorcycle roar away, so to speak. The Mishkan does, in fact, go live in this Parsha. That is, it's successful. However, not without a certain tragic event, as we will see in the fourth Aliyah. But first, we have a description of these very special eighth Yom HaShmini, eighth day sacrifices. A word, by the way, I just thought I'd mention something about the idea of seven and eight based on the Maharal's teaching. I realize this isn't really, you know, staying to the Pshat. It's really more of a Kabbalistic or a spiritual view of it. But I think it's worth mentioning here what the Maharal says. And the Maharal doesn't make it up himself. It really goes back into very ancient Jewish literature and into the Tanakh itself. The idea is that God controls nature. The number seven, I should say, is sort of this a number that indicates God's control of nature. The seven-year cycle of the land, the 7 days of the week, culminating in the Shabbat, seven times walking around the Jericho until that fell down. So seven indicates that God controls nature. Eight in Tanakh is usually something that indicates that we're moving beyond nature into the hyper-natural, supernatural. That's why Shmini Atzeret tops off the Sukkot holiday. The Brit Milah is done on the eighth day to raise the boy to a higher level. So the same idea really applies here. For 7 days, there is a purification process, but it is the eighth day that things actually go live and supernatural, and the presence of God actually appears and the Mishkan is activated. Vayhi bayom ha-shemini kara Moshe la'aron ulevanav ulzikne Yisrael. And it was on the eighth day, Moses called to Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. There was a debate on exactly which day of the year this was. Some say that the eighth day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That means that the 7 days of Miluim started on the 23rd day of Adar, if my math is correct. Some say that the 7 days process started on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which would make this the eighth day of Nisan. There are various halachic differences, but practically for our sake, it won't affect our understanding of this Parsha. The simple reason that the elders are being called, Rashi does offer another reason that the elders are being called, but the basic reason is because the elders are representing the nation, and the nation is giving essentially sacrifices. Some of the sacrifices are the nation sacrifices, which are being given here on the eighth day, and therefore they are represented, and they must be there. Aaron's sacrifices are a sin, or perhaps more accurately, a sin removal offering, a chatat, and an olah, which is a completely burnt offering. Vayomer el Aharon, kach lecha egel ben bakar lechatat ve'ayel le'olat mimim va'akrev lifnei Adonai. And Moses told Aaron, take for yourself a calf of a cattle. The redundancy, the egel ben bakar, according to oral law, means that the calf is 2 years old. That is, it's still a calf, but moving on into adulthood. The simple sense does not express a specific age, but that is our Mesorah. In any event, Moshe told him that this calf is to be taken as a chatat, as a sin offering, and to take a ram to be offered as an olah, a burnt offering, and that both should be pure. Rashi points out, if I'm not mistaken, that the idea is that even Aaron, it's not Rashi, somewhere else I saw, that even Aaron had to be, it had to be expressed to Aaron that even though you're the Kohen, you have to be super careful yourself to give only animals without a blemish. Which blemishes invalidate sacrifices will be discussed later on in the book of Vayikra. Anyway, getting back to the translation, and offer them before the Lord, a meaning in the courtyard altar. Rashi points out that during the 7 days, the chatat that we saw during the 7 days of Miluim was a full-grown cow, not a calf, as it is here. So Rashi sees this as a clear connection to the sin of the golden calf. Now, Rashi actually connects the whole idea of the Mishkan as sort of a kapara, as an atonement for the sin of the golden calf. Ramban disagrees. Ramban sees it as a continuation of the Sinaitic theophany. That is, it's really a moving Har Sinai, as I discussed in last Parsha. However, it seems quite clear here that this chatat offering, which is specifically an egel, specifically a young cow, a calf, is connected to Aaron's involvement in the sin of the golden calf. I mean, there's no question that even though his intention was to save the Israelites at the time from a worse sin when Moshe did not come down when they expected him to come down, nonetheless, he was involved. He is castigated by Moshe, and therefore it seems very possible that this stain must be removed from Aaron before he could really serve or before the Mishkan can safely go functional. On the other hand, this is speculation that any time you have a sacrifice of a given type, you could always speculate on why it's that type, and it's really only speculation. However, this is the only time that an egel is sacrificed as specified as a sacrifice. Actually, there's another one here also, we'll see. But essentially, in this eighth day is the only time that they ever bring egels, calves, as sacrifices. Therefore, it does seem to indicate that there is a connection with the sin of the golden calf, as Rashi says. Now, the second animal does match the seven-day miluim process, which is a ram as an olah, although there was a second ram. Here, we only have one ram. But now Aaron is moving on, at this point, essentially, the difference between what we see now and what we saw in the 7 days is during the 7 days, it was Moshe giving the ram as an olah for the sake of Aaron, with Aaron being the supplicant, and here Aaron is essentially making the offer on his own behalf. Next, Moshe instructs Aaron, Ve'el b'nei Yisrael t'daber le'mor k'chus yirizim l'chatat ve'egel v'cheves B'nei Shana Tmimim Le'ola. Speak to the Israelites saying, that is, Aaron should command the Israelites, or Moshe is commanding Aaron to command the Israelites to say, take a goat as a sin offering, and a calf, and a one-year-old sheep, all pure, that is, without any physical blemishes, as burnt offerings. Again, this and Aaron's calf are the only times that a calf is brought, an egel. So it definitely seems to be a connection between Aaron bringing his calf for his sin and the nation bringing their calf as an olah, as a fully burnt offering, also to expiate the sin of the golden calf that they were involved in. On the other hand, an olah is not a sin offering. So again, it's hard to see exactly, it's hard to say for sure that there's a connection, although it certainly seems to lean that way. Note that the Seir Izim, the Chatat offering, is not an egel, it's a Seir Izim, it's a hairy goat, essentially, and that is kind of the classic Chatat, which is described above in chapter 4 in Parshat Vayikra, and also a little bit in Sav. That's kind of the classic offerings that are given even whether a king sins or whether an individual sins. Anyway, continuing on with the next sacrifices. V'shor v'ayil lishlamim Lizboch lefnei Adonai u'minchabu lav ha-shamen, ki ayom Adonai nira alechem. So really kind of exercising all possible sacrifices. We have the chatat, we have an olah, we have now two shlamim, we have the mincha, so it could be that we're just kind of exercising the full broad, like playing all the notes on the guitar before we start to fully play the instrument. Anyway, translating, and an ox and a ram for a peace offering, a shlamim I'm describing as a peace offering, well, it's a loose translation, before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, since on this day God will appear to you. Vayichu et asher tziva Moshe el pnei oel moed, vayikrivu kol ha'edah vayamdu lefnei Adonai. And they, that is Aaron and his sons and the Israelites that were there, they took what Moshe had commanded them to the opening of the meeting tent, meaning that's the space between the altar and the opening of the Mishkan doors proper inside the courtyard, and the entire congregation approached and stood before the Lord. As I stated in the last parasha, this may be one of the places where there's a miracle, where some millions of Jews, men, women, and children all stood in a very small place in the Azara. Or perhaps what it means is that the people were there, called Haidah, but not each and every person, but through their representatives, which were the elders. Vayomer Moshe, Zeh Adavar Asher Tziva Adonai Ta'asu V'yeira Aleichem Kivod Adonai. And Moshe said, this is the thing, or these are the instructions that you, that the Lord has commanded that you do, so that V'yeira, so that the kavod of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, will appear to you. Now the vav here doesn't just mean, and it will appear to you, but it means if you follow all these directions and you go through this sacrificial process, the sacrifices for you, and then the full range of sacrifices for the sake of the nation, that will cause the presence of God to appear, and that will activate the Mishkan into a fully functional Mishkan. Vayomer Moshe el Aharon, Kirav el HaMizbeach, Va'asei et Chatatcha, V'et Olotecha, V'chaper Ba'adcha, U'va'ad Ha'am, Va'asei et Korban Ha'am, V'chaper Ba'adam, Ka'asher Tziva Adonai. And Moses said to Aaron, approach the altar and do your sin offering and your burnt offering, and it will atone for you and for the nation. That is Aaron's personal sacrifices help not only him, but since he is their priest, the nation as well. And then do the offerings of the nation. They will atone for them. That is specifically their issues that need to be atoned for, just as God commanded. Again, this certainly seems to point to the need to atone for some stain that remained. And I would say probably from the sin of the golden calf. Now the verses describe the process of the sacrifice. So I will read through them. And then translate at the end, you'll see they're quite similar in most cases to the kind of sacrifices that we've seen before in Tzav. Vayikrav Aharon el HaMizbeach, vayishchat et egel achatat ashelo, vayakrivu bnei Aharon et adam elav, vayitbol et zba'o badam, vayitain al kanon HaMizbeach, vet adam yatzak el yusod HaMizbeach, vet achele vet akleyo, vet ayeteret min hakaved min hachatat, tiktir HaMizbecha, kasher tziva Adonai et Moshe, ve'et ha-basar ve'et ha-or saraf ba'esh michutz la-machane. And Aaron approached the altar and slaughtered the calf, the sin offering that was his, and the children of Aaron brought the blood close to him. What that means is he was at this point standing probably on top of the altar, and his sons are instructed to essentially prepare the pieces and all of the elements, in this case the blood, and kind of bring it to him where he's standing on the altar so he could take care of what he needed to do on top of the altar. Anyway, continuing on, and he dipped his finger in the blood and placed it on the horns of the altar. Each of the four corners of the altar, the large mizbeach, had a protruding a stone, kind of a horn-shaped structure affixed to it. And the blood, that is the remaining blood, he poured on the foundation of the altar. And the chelev fats, those are the tallowy, yellowish, grainy fats that cover the innards, and the kidneys, and the extra part of the liver from the sin offering he set to smoking on the altar, which means burning with smoke coming off of it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, which means probably as he described previously in the section that we saw in Parsha Vayikra about sin offerings. And he burned the meat and the skin with fire outside of the camp. Now this is of note, because it is unusual, although we did see this happen in the 7-day Miluim as well. Normally there are two types of sin offerings. One is called Shechita, there's something called Bim Bifnim or Bim Bechutz. Now, There is one where the blood is sprinkled inside the Mishkan tent itself, either in the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kodashim. And in those cases, the animal is not eaten. The entire animal is taken outside of the camp to a special place to be burnt up. Nobody eats from it. But other sin offerings have their blood offered on the large altar in the courtyard, that is, they're outside of the actual Mishkan tent, and these have their meat eaten by the priest. Now here, as in the 7-day Miluim, we have two chatats, and in both cases, that is, one chatat is the egel of Aaron for himself, and the other chatat is the sirizim for the nation. And what we'll see is in both these cases, the blood is offered outside, which means we would expect the meat to be we would expect the meat to be eaten based on the rules of the chatat. However, in both cases, the meat is burned outside as if the blood was offered inside the Mishkan tent. And we'll see there's a little bit of a argument between Moshe and Aaron about one of them and whether it's the proper thing to do. What I'll do at that time is offer an explanation of why we have this unusual service where the blood is offered outside, but the meat isn't eaten as usual, but it's treated as if the blood was sprinkled on the inside of the Mishkan instead. But I'll get there when the actual tragedy takes place, because it really, the argument between Moshe and Aaron regarding where to do the burning of the meat, comes up at that time. In the meantime, let's go on to Aaron's Olah. That would be the second of his sacrifices for himself, or for his priesthood, so to speak. Vayishchat et ha'olah, vayamtziyu b'nei Aaron elav et adam, vayizrkehu ala mizbeach saviv, v'et ha'olah himtziyu elav lintachel, v'et harosh, vayaktera ala mizbeach, vayichat et ha'kerev et ha'kira ayim, vayaktera et ha'olah mizbeacha, Vayakrev et korban ha'am, vayikach et tzir ha'chatat asher la'am, vayishchateyu, vayichateyu, karishon. That's going to be a big issue. We're going to get back to that. Vayakrev et ha'olah, vayasehu kamishpat. And he slaughtered the olah, and the children of Aaron presented the blood to him. Again, the picture is he's standing on the altar now after the slaughtering process, and they're kind of bringing him piece by piece while he takes care of all of the burning and the sprinkling and the pouring of the blood and everything that needs to be done on top of the altar. Anyway, getting back to the translation, and he threw it all around the altar, meaning on the top of the altar, not on the dirt around it. And they presented the olah to him piece by piece along with its head, and he set them to smoking, i.e. burning up piece by piece on the altar. And he washed the innards and the legs and set the olah to smoking on the altar. And then he offered the offering of the people and took the people's goat sin offering and he slaughtered it and brought it to in order to remove the sins with it, just as was done with the first one. And what this means is that's the word of Vayichateyu Karishon. What that means is that the same instructions that he used to bring his own calf sin offering, which is to sprinkle on the outside and then to burn outside of the camp, were applied to the goat sin offering of the people as well. What we'll see is whether that was the proper thing to do or not. There seems to be some dispute about it, as we will see. Now, what we'll also see is that nobody is supposed to be in the Mishkan at this time. No sprinkling or any kind of movement is supposed to be done in the Mishkan. And we will see why at a later time nobody is allowed to go into the Mishkan at this time. Continuing with the translation and the sacrifices, and he sacrificed the burnt offering and prepared it according to the rules, meaning according to the Olah rules, which are laid out in Parshat Vayikra and Parshat Tzav. So that's the sacrifices up to this point. More sacrifices of the people will continue. These special eighth day or Yom HaShmini sacrifices, the tragedy we will not get to until the third Aliyah.